Now, there's one sense that we've got left to probe, and that is, of course, sight. And when it comes to telescopes, bigger really is better. Size is important. And this year marks the beginning of a very new era because radio telescopes dotted across the globe have joined up to create a telescope that is literally the size of the Earth. The initiative is called the Event Horizon Telescope, and the aim is to capture the first images of a black hole. Luciano Rezzola from the Institute of Physics in Frankfurt is part of the collaboration, and he is with us. I'm amazed, Luciano, that no one has ever seen a black hole. The fact is they're in such common parlance. First of all, what is a black hole?
Right. So black hole is one of the most cherished objects in our imagination nowadays. And yet, as a scientist, we don't have any definitive observation that confirms their existence. A black hole is an object whose gravity is so strong that they possess a surface, which is called the event horizon, where nothing, not even the lightest particle can escape, and the lightest particle is, of course, light. So one can think of black holes as objects where gravity is the ultimate word and where light cannot move out of this very specific surface, the event horizon.
How do we know, then, that black holes exist if no one's ever seen one?
Right. So the idea is to use the indirect evidence. For instance, you can, in the case of the supermassive black hole, the center of our galaxy, you can convince yourself that it's a black hole because you see stars that are moving around an object which doesn't emit any light, which is extremely massive, 4 million solar masses, and yet you don't see it. So the motion of stars near supermassive black holes is a way of telling that there is a black hole. What you would like to see is a smoking gun for the presence of a black hole, and that is the presence of an event horizon. That's what we're trying to do with this project, the Event Horizon Telescope.
I suppose it's complicated, this, because astronomy is largely based on looking at things using light. And if you're trying to see something that doesn't let light escape, that must be tricky.
Right. It's actually quite frustrating. But we do have an option here, and it is given by the fact that if a black hole is immersed in a bath of radiation, of light, then there's going to be a region out of this bath which will be darker because some of the light will not be able to reach us. And this is what we are actually trying to measure and take a picture of, this region which is less luminous, and this is what we call the shadow of a black hole. So through radio telescope, we're trying to reproduce the shape of this shadow.
Right, so in other words, by looking at how the light that you can see behaves, you can infer what must be influencing the light in that way and therefore work out what must be there to do that. And then you can see whether your observations fit the theory.
That's right. That's exactly correct. And actually, the shape can be telling a lot of information because different black holes of different theories or of different properties will give you a different shadow. So by measuring the properties of the shadow, we will know a lot about the properties of the black hole.
Now, why has the Event Horizon Telescope been convened to do this? We've got lots of telescopes on Earth. Why do this with them?
The problem is that light in wavelengths that are not radio tend to be absorbed. So what you want to have is radio telescopes measuring this shadow. Radio telescopes are actually ideal for this, not only because they can get the only radiation that reaches us, but also those that allow us to have the highest resolution. In order to have an idea of the type of resolution that you need, this is like taking a picture of an orange which is placed on the surface of the moon. It's a humongous resolution. And the best telescope that gives us this resolution is radio telescope, because there is a very simple rule in the resolution, and it is that given a certain wavelength, you want to have the largest possible telescope to see this wavelength. And in the case of radio telescope, you can get very large dishes, 100 meters. As a matter of fact, even 100 meters would not be enough. What you really would like to have is a radio telescope which is as big as the whole planet. And you may think this is just impossible. Actually, it is possible, and people have pioneered this technique, which is called very large baseline interferometry, decades ago. So the principle is, if you can't have a single telescope, why don't you have two telescopes as far apart as possible? And you just make sure that they record exactly the same radio wavefront. And that's what you do by synchronizing these two telescopes with atomic clocks. So in this case, the larger the better. And if you can have more than two telescopes picking up the same wavefront, even better, because then even the detail of this wavefront would be more precise. And that's what the Event Horizon Telescope collaboration has done this spring, has set up a very large campaign where all the biggest telescopes scattered across the planet have recorded data, and this data we're now analyzing.
You've even got the telescope in Antarctica, which has made some recordings, but you haven't got the data from that yet because you haven't got the hard disks back from Antarctica, have you?
Right. So this is, you know, the most advanced technology to do this type of job. At the end, what you really need is an airplane getting this data that is stored in these disks. But that's it, you know. You can't win with the solar winter, and so we have to wait for planes to be able to land at the South Pole Telescope and pick up the data, which actually is very important because the South Pole Telescope is the one that can always look at the galactic center, while other telescope would be, you know, as the Earth rotates, they will be not seeing the galactic center during some time of the day. So the most important piece of the puzzle is actually still missing, and that's why we hope that once we have that data, we will have the most accurate measurements ever made of the galactic center.
So you merge the data from all of these individual telescopes, which have all looked at the same event at the same time. So you know that they're all seeing it from a slightly different viewpoint, and that should therefore give you this very detailed picture. But what will the picture that ultimately emerges when you put this sort of montage or this mosaic together, what will this look like?
This will depend a lot on the quality of the data. You know, this is data that is taken over several days, but we hope we will see some evidence of this shadow. So an evidence of a region where there's going to be lack of luminosity, while nearby there's going to be a lot of emission. And this is what our numerical simulations are telling us we should see. In practice, I'm not able to tell you the quality of the data up until we actually have processed it. So we might be very lucky and see something which is very suggestive of the presence of an horizon, or we might have, you know, to try again and remove some of the uncertainties we have to do, for instance, with the fact that the light would be scattered and so the image would be blurry.
Well, we look forward very much to seeing what those images look like. Thank you very much, Luciano Rezzola. And thank you to all of our guests this week, who were Eli Alloy, Bill Kurth and Ingo Müller-Vodag. We've listened to Jupiter, we've touched down on Mars, we've smelt Saturn, and we're even on the lookout for black holes. Not bad for half an hour.